Welcome to Enigma Zone. Today's podcast episode is an update for two true crime cases that I've covered on this podcast. One being the Enrique Roman Martinez case and the other being Andres Guardado. So let's just go ahead and get started because there's a lot of information that has come out. Okay, so starting off with the Enrique Roman Martinez case. This is something that went over my head and I just am barely catching it. Okay, so apparently back in July, there was an article posted on the armytimes.com and it basically stated that there are a lot of inconsistencies regarding the disappearance or the account given by the paratrooper friends that were with Enrique the day he disappeared. If you recall, Enrique Roman Martinez, he was stationed in Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and he went missing in May of 2020 while out camping with some fellow army people. They were fellow paratroopers, I think. And he was reported missing about maybe 12 hours after he was last seen by these friends in a very bizarre manner. They never found him. Needless to say, I think it might have been a week later, his remains washed up ashore. The army is doing what the army does, keeping everything very, very low key without any really information. The family of this paratrooper has been very upset and desperate to find answers to the reason and the people or person behind their loved one's death. Okay, so this article was published in July, and it basically stated that there is actually a 911 call from the fellow soldiers who called the authorities saying that they couldn't find Enrique. Well, it turns out that they actually bumped into some local authorities there before they even called 911. And they never told the authorities about Enrique's disappearance or anything like that. The article basically states that this group of people, which I don't know the number, but I think it's at least, I think it was about 5 or maybe even 9, I'm not sure. They bumped into U.S. Park Rangers hours before placing a 911 call to report Enrique missing. I think the park rangers asked them to remove or move their vehicles or something of that nature, and they never once reported Enrique missing or told them anything about that. And I bring this up now because during the 911 call that they placed hours after this encounter with the U.S. Park Rangers, I think they told the 911 operator that they had been looking for Enrique for hours and hours overnight, basically, and that they had not seen anyone who they could have asked for help, meaning authorities, local authorities, which that was a lie, allegedly, because they bumped into the U.S. Park Rangers earlier that day. In the initial 911 call, it's very bizarre. This is my opinion. Obviously, this is alleged. I think the people that were with him killed him. Why? It's the perfect thing. They go camping. The 911 call, one of them says, oh, he left his belongings. He left his glasses. He can't see without them in the middle of the night, around midnight, exactly around there, give or take. We did not ask where he was going. We did not, nothing. He just walked off and we assumed he was going to the restroom somewhere in the dark outside. They're in the middle of, it was like the beach. They never asked where he was going, and the person that called kept saying, we went back to sleep, all of us went back to sleep, like at 12:03. He kept saying that, so that's kind of bizarre to me. Moreover, during the 911 call, he told the operator that Enrique is suicidal, he has mental health issues, he's talked about or taking his life or something of that nature. And that's another thing. If you have a friend who is suicidal and they go missing, why are you going to wait over a couple of hours? They almost waited almost 24 hours. I can't recall the exact number, but it was a long time to call and report him missing. What? Who does that? I think that they have something to do with it. Okay, so his remains were found ashore a week later, and now, this is the next part of this update, we know what washed up ashore. This was actually revealed, I think it was this month. Let me double check. December 4th, 2020. This happened in May. Why are they just releasing this now? I know the army is shady, and I know that they keep everything secret because they have their own criminal court. I've said this in another episode. I'm sure you know about that. They have their own criminal court. They investigate, judge, whatever, their own people. So I know they keep everything on the down low. And in a way, okay, I understand that they don't want to give out too much information to the public or say whether they have a suspect or information that may tip off the people responsible in any crime that they're onto them, because they can take off. So I understand the need for secrecy. I understand why, you know, and whether it's the army or just regular authorities outside of this military stuff, they always say like, oh, it's an ongoing investigation, we can't reveal that, and they don't reveal things for a long time. And of course, to us, the public, and maybe I'm assuming to the family of the people that have fallen to, you know, to these crimes or are going missing, it's very, we get frustrated, and I can't imagine how they feel not being able to know anything. But in a way, now I understand, like, they need to do their investigation, they need to cross every T, dot every I, and all that. However, when it comes to Enrique, I don't really understand why just now they revealed this information, which I feel like it could have been revealed back then, and it could have given more detail on the things, on Enrique's remains. Okay, so this is coming from the Fayetteville Observer. And it says that the autopsy was recently either revealed, or at least parts of it were revealed. December. This happened in May. And basically, the remains that were found ashore back in May were only Enrique's severed head. As far as I know, or as I've read, nothing else was found other than the head. And it says, the autopsy examined a severed head, as neither the torso nor extremities were available. And evidence of this severed head suggests that there was a broken jaw, multiple chop injuries, cuts, and fractured cervical spine. And obviously, this is just even disturbing. Obviously, I mean, at first glance, when we first found out what had washed up ashore, that he was found severed, I mean, that enough is, like, terrifying. But the fact that they didn't find his body or anything else, and unfortunately, they do have this head, but they cannot point a reason or a cause of death until they have other things. Like, and they state that obviously decapitation kills a person, so that is a possibility that he was decapitated and that killed him, but unless that's not for sure, because they need to have other body parts to really know what really caused his death. The thing is that he had a fractured jaw. Which, I mean, I guess it could happen in the attempt of decapitation, but, or was he beaten? I mean, so his remains were initially found in mile marker 53 at the National Seashore Shackleford Banks in North Carolina. And they're at a standstill from what they've told us or released to the public. Obviously, they may not have other they may only have his severed head and not other body parts, but maybe they do have somebody in mind who could have done it, and they are keeping that on the down low once again because they don't want to tip off the people who might have done it or the person, and they want to gather more information before they jump on the killers. But I mean, it's definitely a homicide for sure. But it was a very brutal crime, and it's unfortunate because his family read about it, and they actually gave a statement about it, and they said the following, and I quote, "Everything about this case doesn't make sense. The investigators have updated the family, but haven't provided many details," the Martinez family said. And they basically share how it's just, it's a bizarre story. I mean, it's obviously a homicide. You know what? And I personally do think that the people that went camping with him probably are involved. But at the same time, what were they expecting? If let's say it was, if they were indeed involved and they were going to frame this death on him being suicidal or whatnot, did they not think that obviously if his body comes up decapitated and mutilated, that's obviously an indication that he didn't die naturally, or he didn't die by his own hand. Somebody killed him. Unless they expected that that nobody was going to find the body, maybe they thought that it would never surface. It's just sorry, I thought I had to cough. It's just a very bizarre, and the reason behind it, like, why would they want to kill him? Another thing is that it was also reported that authorities are finally looking in the ocean, that area where his head was found, to see if they find any more items or body parts. And that article where I read that they're investigating or sending diving teams or looking around that area was pretty recent. I hope they didn't start doing that recently, because it's December. That happened in May. Like, if that's the case, if authorities who are in charge of this investigation, which is basically the criminal investigation, no, military police probably. I hope they didn't just start diving in there, because chances are it's going to be even more difficult to find any remains or items of that nature. Maybe they've been doing it all along and they haven't released that, but it's just really unfortunate because it's been months and the family doesn't have any answers, and this is just shocking. Nobody has come forward. There is a reward of $25,000, and the fact that his friends lied about not seeing local authorities to ask for help before calling 911, and then it coming out that allegedly they did. They bumped into the park rangers, I think I said. And then afterwards, late hours later, they call 911. So that's super shady. Very, 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 very shady. So far, that's all the information we have on Enrique Roman Martinez. Now we know that what body part was found, and we know that there is inconsistencies in the friend's story, which from the beginning, it was just very bizarre and very strange. Perhaps they are being investigated, but they don't have enough evidence, so they haven't, the military police or the criminal investigation division from the military haven't revealed any more information on that, but maybe they do have an eye on them, and they should, because it's really bizarre, very bizarre. Okay, so jumping into the Andres Guardado case. Okay, brief recap. If you don't know who Andres Guardado is, he was an 18-year-old Hispanic person. I was thinking of El Salvador. I was going to say El Salvadorian. Yeah, I'm not sure. He was from El Salvador. I just don't know how you say that. Like Salvador, Salvadoreño. Yeah. Okay, so he was working as a security guard part-time with a local mechanic shop in Redondo Beach or the Gardena area in California. He was shot by deputies in June, I want to say, 2020. So there's update on his case. There was a lot of backlash because a lot of people and the family believe that he was wrongfully killed. The story that we have initially was that, and this is from the authorities, two deputies showed up to this auto shop place, and while Guardado was speaking to somebody in a Lexus, a white Lexus, he pulled out a gun, and the deputy saw the gun, and he immediately ran towards the back of the building, which was a kind of a long rectangular building, I assume. And the deputies chased him, and they were shouting at him to stop, drop the weapon, etc. And when he reached toward the back of the building, which I assume was a semi, a decent distance, he stopped, he dropped to his knees, he laid on the ground and put his weapon and the guardado towards the right side on the floor near his hand. And as the deputies, at least one of them was coming up to arrest him, that he reached for his gun. So the deputies fired five times, I think, in his back. He died on the scene. This caused a lot of uproar because when this first happened, even now, there's a lot of kind of inconsistencies, especially from the authorities' part. Because when this happened, the owner of the auto shop where Guardado was patrolling, I guess, stated that the deputies destroyed his cameras. And you could see the outside of the building that where he had cameras, a lot of them were destroyed. Moreover, the owner stated that I don't think he was there at the time, stated that the deputies broke into his mechanic shop in the office inside and took the surveillance footage from his mechanic cameras, mechanic shop cameras, security cameras. And the police kind of denied that the first time. They kind of avoided saying that they didn't take anything. They really kind of didn't say much, and that was pretty shady. Then the authorities, I think it's the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, later said that they reviewed all the footage. They apparently took footage from the surrounding areas, the front businesses across that area, across that shop, and they basically stated that they did not have any footage. Nothing. Nothing from the mechanic shop, nothing from the restaurants or establishments in the across the street. Nothing. And that's the story they stuck to. Obviously, his family was devastated. They still are. They're very upset. They believe that the police, I'm going to call them the police. I always confuse them. Police, Sheriff's Department. Sorry. The Sheriff's Department planted that weapon near Guardado's body. They did collect a weapon, a gun, a handgun that was kind of makeshift, which was made from different parts. It was, I guess, illegal. It didn't really have any type of codes or identifying numbers or serial numbers or something. And the family believes that the police planted it. Again, it's the sheriff's deputy, sorry. Okay. So, recently, let's see. This story is wild, let me tell you. As of December 11th, 2020, the two deputies who killed Guardado were relieved of duty. Not because of the Andrés Guardado case, but because of a traffic accident case that happened months before the Guardado case, which is bizarre in its own. Why are they being relieved from duty? I think they're being suspended, I guess. They're not fired. Why are they being relieved from duty for something that happened way before the Guardado's case? And if so, is that an indication that they probably behaved the way they shouldn't have and maybe even showcase how they're capable of doing unethical things that look at the Guardado case? Needless to say, they have tongue-tied. there hasn't been any more information on what happened, like why were they relieved from duty for an unrelated investigation. Is it possible that the sheriff, the main dude, Alex Villanueva, is kind of trying to save face and clean up this mess, even though this relieve of duty is unrelated because maybe there's a big storm coming when it comes to the Guardado case? Who knows? But this is bizarre. I mean, this is the guy, Sheriff Villanueva. He is the LA sheriff, got main dude. He's the same guy who refused to fire his deputies who took photos of Kobe Bryant's dead body, as well as the other victims of the car, of the, not the car crash, of the helicopter crash, and showed it to people around town and to friends, and a lot of them. Some say it was like 5 to 9 deputies who did this with their personal phones. It was not for like investigative purposes. He refused to fire them, supposedly. He basically gave a statement saying that he had warned his deputies that if you took photos of Kobe Bryant's dismembered remains and that of the people in the crash with your personal cell phones, you need to delete them now. And then you'll be fine. This is the same guy. Just think about that. Think about how many people in different companies would be fired if you use your personal cell phone to take photos of things that happened during your job, or take photos of sensitive information that you, as well, you know you shouldn't be doing that. And this guy basically gave them a slap in the wrist. He did not fire them. Apparently, he did not, as far as we know, there wasn't any suspension, nothing. He just gave them, you know, and then he had the gall to get on a I think it was on a podium in a press conference and reiterate this. Well, I told my deputies that as long as they delete the photos of Kobe Bryant's dead remains that they took with their personal phones and shared it all over the county and all over Los Angeles and parts of California, they wouldn't be in trouble. And now they're getting sued for it, and I'm glad they are, because who does that and who covers for that? You know, this guy is another story. But okay, now I forgot my place. What was I going to talk about? Let's see. Okay, so the two deputies were relieved of duty. Another thing that happened was that they finally released surveillance footage from the Guardado the day of the killing. Remember, initially, the sheriffs in Los Angeles, the department, stated that they did not take anything. Then, out of nowhere, they stated that they took things, but there was no video found. Nothing. Nothing. And now, as of December, I think it's this month, they finally come up with a surveillance footage from a business across the street of the auto shop. And you can catch it in foxla.com. So credit to them. So basically, they gave a press conference and they showed the video. You can see it. It's edited here and there. So what shows is the day of the killing. They don't show the actual murder or the actual shooting, but now we know that it's during the daytime. It's in broad daylight. I know that I think this happened around, I want to say between 5 or 7, if I remember correctly. I don't know why I assumed it might have been like nightfall or a little dark outside, but it's in broad daylight. So what we see is Andres Guardado standing at the gate of the auto shop. He's wearing black, I think it's all dark, clothing. And he is just standing there. And then there's this white vehicle that the police or the LASD identify as a white Lexus. And you can see Andres Guardado briefly talking to somebody inside the white Lexus. Then the video speeds up. And then there is a semi-truck that passes. And right after the semi-truck passes, you could see the deputy's vehicles next to the white Lexus in the middle of the street. Running, they left the car there, running after Guardado. And you see him flee, run to the back. Which I found it bizarre. Why couldn't they? Why did they have to edit the part where the deputies arrive? The video again shows at one point Guardado talking to the person in the white car. Then it's edited, sped up, and then you see the last frame is somebody. No, let me see. Let me rephrase that. The last frame is just regular, right? And then it's sped up, and then you see a semi-truck passing, and right as the semi-truck passes, the car is already there. The deputy's vehicles is there, and they're not even in the car. They're already chasing him, and you can see them running after him, two people. And he heads towards the back of the building. I just found that strange. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. I think it's strange. Why did they stop? Why can't the LASD reveal that Guardado's already dead? I'm sure they've coached and talked to their deputies for how many months has it been since June? Why can they still not say, why did the LASD officer stop in the first place? Were they called there? Did they see suspicious activity? Did they have a knife for that auto shop or for that person in the white Lexus? Has the person or the people in the white Lexus given statements or been interviewed by authorities? And nobody knows. I just find it weird how it was edited. And go check it out. If I can post it to my Twitter, we have a Twitter. It's called Enigma Z Pod. Follow me. I have like one follower. I'll post it there. But it's just weird. I understand that the video has to be sped up for, obviously they're not gonna show like the whole day, but the video itself that I found on this website is a minute and 40 seconds, and the part where the most important part is sped up and kind of like cut, you know, and it's strange. Why did they even stop in the first place? You don't see a gun. You don't see Guardado holding a gun. However, this video is pretty, it's actually really good quality, to be honest. But it's far enough where you can't really see details like him having a gun and running off with it. But it's just bizarre. Okay, so I paused to go see the video again. Okay, so once the semi passes, you see the car, the deputy's vehicle, parked parallel to the white Lexus's, the car in front of the white Lexus. So they were not parked next to the white Lexus. They were parked, parallel to the car in front of it. So you see the two officers run after Guardado. You see Guardado run first and then follow suit. And then you see somebody go into the white Lexus, which looks like somebody wearing white. It kind of looks like it might be a man. It's very brief. And then that white Lexus takes off. They do a U-turn and they go. But at the same, this part is unedited, the one that follows. So then you see a witness. It looks like a man wearing beige with black hair standing at the gate, at the doorway of the auto shop watching what's going on. Has that person been interviewed? Because the authorities said initially that there were no witnesses, and they still say that. And from the information that they've given us, they kind of alluded to the fact that it was a straight way where Guardado ran. So for example, like they did not turn a corner that I can remember. If I get something incorrectly, I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and fix it next episode. But yeah, so if Guardado just ran straight ahead and he never turned and he was killed in that one-way street, if that makes sense, then the person at the gate, that witness that was watching the commotion, could have seen what happened. The thing is that this case, the authorities have looked really bad, the LASD, because they've changed their story so many times. And this is not taken into account, for example, if it was true that Guardado did have a gun and that at the moment that one deputy was going to approach him to arrest him, he grabbed that gun and that's why they shot him. That's something separate, which is also being disputed by the family. It's like a he said, she story. He said, she said. So far, the only version we have is that of the deputies, and of course, they stated that they felt threatened and that Guardado reached for that weapon, and that was reason enough to shoot at him, which it is. Not saying that I agree with it or whatnot, but I've spoken to law enforcement agents, and they stated that the protocol, that is the an appropriate action that they probably won't be found guilty for. Because they felt threatened, and that's all you need. But if it's true that this man that was on the video watching saw the entire thing, and then it's just so bizarre. Very bizarre. Okay, what else? I had another thing I wanted to talk to you about. So Maxine Waters has called for a federal investigation into this case. So we'll see what happens with that. I think there is a separate investigation ongoing into this Andres Guardado case. Let's see. Before we conclude, I think I had something else I wanted to share. Let's see. So I guess there were some witnesses, because in this article from the NBCLosAngeles.com, it says the inquest is the first in Los Angeles County in more than 30 years. The coroner's office subpoenaed documents to present at the inquest and witnesses to testify. So there are witnesses. So why did the LASD say there weren't? See, they always say that they seem like they're lying all the time. Let's see. He was shot 5 times in the back. It says, they did find a gun. It was about 3 to 5 feet to the right side of Guardado's head as his body lay face down on the ground. County firefighter paramedic Andrew Clemens, who responded to the shooting scene, said Guardado was pronounced dead within about 3 minutes after the paramedics arrived. Guillermo Torres, a journalist from the online publication LA Taco, testified and provided a video that he took of the shooting scene and an interview with Andrew Haney, the manager of the nearby auto shop where Guardado was working as an informal security guard. So was that the guy in the video that was watching in beige? Cooper received a package of investigative documents under seal that were subpoenaed. So there were witnesses, and the witness had a video, and the LASD, they did said they didn't. You know what I mean? This is just so, it's a clusterfuck. And it seems like the LASD, they're going to drag them because they keep kind of lying, allegedly. First they said they never took anything, then they said they did have the videos but they didn't have anything on it, and then they come up with this video that's kind of edited, and they never give a reason as to why. To this day, we don't know why the LASD stopped, why they even stopped there. So it's an interesting case for sure. Of course, the Guardado's family has filed a lawsuit against the county alleging wrongful death and civil rights violation, etc. Let's see. So yeah, a lot of people have accused the sheriff Villanueva and this department of for lack of transparency, and it does seem like that. I mean, it says transparency cannot come at an expense of integrity in any criminal investigation. The sheriff said, we do hold our employees accountable. So any suggestion or inference that we cannot hold ourselves accountable to rule, oh, you do hold them accountable? In this case and in others, like that Kobe Bryant case, where you told your deputies to just delete the photos of dead bodies, that they shouldn't. That's such a violation in every aspect. Like, it wasn't even part of the investigation. That was for personal use. That's fucked up. This guy's a joke. And it seems like they're going to definitely go in on the LASD County, and maybe they should. Unfortunately, if there isn't really this article states that the witness does have video of the shooting. Hopefully that brings out the truth. Did they plant that weapon? Is it possible that they did? Yes, but it's possible that they didn't, you know. So I know this caused a lot of this shooting was very it caused a lot of people to kind of really I want protest, that's the word I'm looking for, protest outside of the LASD at one point, even at the sh at the sorry, at the deputies' houses where they were. They made it into this. This came at the height of the Black Lives Matter. Of course, Guardado is not African American or African, so it got swept under the rug from that aspect. But yeah, some people alluded to it possibly being racism, but the two deputies that shot Guardado were Hispanic, are Hispanic. So not say that racism doesn't exist in that, but it's very rare when it comes to same race, I think. I don't know. Take this with a grain of salt. Speaking from a Hispanic point of view. So, but that's it for now. Thank you for listening. If anything else comes up, I will make another episode about it. Please subscribe, check out my other podcast episodes. And if you can, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes for morale purposes. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.